Good morning and welcome.
We've gathered this morning to be in worship. So let us begin our worship by reading together Psalm 90. Will the congregation please rise? Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another.
Before the mountains were brought forth, the land and the earth were born from age to age, our God.
You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, O children of earth.
For thousands of years, your sight, like yesterday, when it is past.
You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away like the grass.
In the morning is green, flourishes. In the evening is dried up, withering.
For we are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath.
Our secret sins in the light.
When you are angry, all our days are gone. We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
The span of our lives. 70 years, perhaps our strength even 80. Yet the sum of them, the labor and sorrow, they pass away quickly, and we are gone.
Who regards the power of your wrath? Who rightly fears your indignation?
So teach us to number our days, that we may acquire our hearts to wisdom.
We join together now in our gathering song.
From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, in the name of the Lord be praised. From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, in the name of the Lord be praised.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Our first lesson comes from Zephaniah, the first chapter. Be silent before the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will do no good, nor will he do harm, their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid to rest. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed for a full and terrible end. He will make all of the inhabitants of the earth the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. For you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. The God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of our Lord. Congregation may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We were expecting something different this week. Some of us were looking forward to finally being installed and making it all official. Some of us were looking forward to our family coming by to visit. Some of us, we're just here for the worship. Some of you have probably been looking forward to hearing somebody else preach, right? Some of you were just, you know, getting all excited about the congregational meeting, and at least that one gets to work, all right? We were expecting something different this week. And if we listened to the readings from Scripture, we kind of did get something different. Today we hear more talk of the end of things. From Zephaniah and from St. Paul, we hear talk of terror as well as of grace. Zephaniah, like Amos last week, was working very hard at making comfortable people, people who were content with all that they do, with the sacrifices that they made and all the rest of that. He was trying to make those comfortable people who thought that all that they did will keep them on God's good side. He was trying to make all of those comfortable people a little uncomfortable, because too often, the people Zephaniah was speaking to believed that because of their sacrifices and all that they were doing, that they could then get away with cheating or with not caring about anyone else but themselves. Zephaniah wanted them to be uncomfortable. And so Zephaniah spoke of wrath and anguish and things that might happen if they didn't change their lives, because they think all of these things are important when they're not. But in Thessalonians, Paul was speaking words of grace. First of all, he said, no one knows when the end is coming. No one. So if I decide to tell you, don't believe me, all right? No one knows. No one. And it's my guess that as soon as someone comes up with a date, God changes his mind. Too often, like Paul, the coming of the end is compared to a thief. Now, no one knows when a thief will come, but most of us are afraid of, or at least really uncomfortable with, the idea of a thief coming in. But Paul asserts that his audience and all of us, we're not in darkness. We don't have to be afraid of a thief. In fact, it's not a thief that we await, but it's a joyful reunion. It's a surprise. It's a pleasant surprise. It's one of those things where it's like, wow, I wasn't expecting that, instead of, ooh, I wasn't expecting that, right? Paul wants to let us know that while we do wait, it's the surprise that we're waiting for that's important. And so what we get to do while we wait is equally important. Now, it's not that what we do will save us. It's not that how we live is going to change our status. But Paul wants us to encourage one another, to build each other up, to love our neighbors, and to love one another as Jesus loves us, because we can. Now, we know people who are anxious and afraid, folks who worry a lot. We also know that God loves us all, even those anxious and worrying ones, or maybe especially those anxious and worrying ones. But Paul wants us to encourage one another, to care for the people around us, listening and helping where we can. Paul wants us to build one another up so that no one is brought down, and that God's love is evident, so that everyone can move forward in hope with God's peace in their lives. And this brings us finally to Jesus and his parable today. Jesus' parable isn't necessarily about the end, at least not like last week's was. But it's a story about grace and opportunities, as well as opportunities not taken. You see, when many read the parable of the talents, they believe that it's about success. You remember that junior high cheer, S-U-C-C-E-S-S? It was either they were doing a cheer or was practicing for the spelling bee, one of the two. But that's what we all think it's about, right? A master goes on a trip, leaves his fortune to three different servants, two double what it is that they were given to take care of, and the third one buries what he was given and returns it to the master when he gets back. Too often we think about, or even we're taught, that it's about doubling what we've been given. Too often we're taught, and too often we believe, that it's all about this success. As if Jesus decided in this parable to adopt a shrewd banker approach to God's kingdom instead of the one that we've been hearing from him all along. It's not about success. The truly amazing thing for me is what it is the master gives to the servants to take care of. Now again, many people who want to talk about talents as if Jesus was talking about giving them, you know, the talent to sing or to tap dance or to play the tuba or something like that. Or even think about, you know, someone has a talent for accounting or engineering or things like that. There are people who think that that's what this is all about. And they think that wasting their talent is a sin, meaning I didn't go off to Broadway to kill it on the stage or something like that. In Jesus' day, a talent was actually just a large sum of money. I've heard that it was either 1,000 days' wages, or I've also heard that it was up to 10,000 days' wages. So it was a huge sum of money, and it's just a metaphor. It can be a metaphor for all of those skills and abilities that we've been talking about. But I think it's a metaphor about everything else. If God is represented as the master in this parable, then what he gives to his servants is food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. To quote Martin Luther, it is everything. The master lavishes all that he has on these servants and tells them to do with as they can. The talents given to those servants are extraordinary and extravagant. 5 talents, 2 talents, even just 1 talent is a gracious gift beyond measure. We who have been named and claimed by God in baptism, we who are nourished at this table, we know the extravagance of God's gifts. We know the extent of God's gracious giving to us. That's what Jesus is tapping into in the story. The servants are given each according to their abilities. And then the master goes off. The first 2 immediately go to work, and all of their efforts double what the master gave to them to work with. We'll get to the servant who just received the 1 talent in a minute. But you see, for me, I would love it if Jesus had added a 4th servant, all right? This one would have been given 3 talents. And he would go off and he would work, but instead of doubling anything, he lost some of it, but was hoping to get it back soon, whenever soon was. I would love to see that character, because then that character could show us conclusively that success isn't what's required. See, the servant who just received the 1 talent was afraid. I don't know why he was afraid. He says that he knew that his master was shrewd, and that he was afraid to lose it all. So he buried it. He hid it in the back pages of a book or stuffed it under his mattress or something. He did nothing with what he was given. That's the problem. As far as I can see, it's not that the others doubled what they got. It's not that the others were successful. It's that they tried. They did something. Inspired by their master's generosity, they did what they could with what they were given. This brings me back to my 4th servant, the one who tried but wasn't immediately successful. You see, there are other parables that Jesus tells about planting seeds and about weeds in the wheat and about Samaritans who help while priests don't, about maidens who wait for the party while others are distracted and go off. Life is difficult, even for those of us who are loved by God, maybe even especially for those of us loved by God. Now, we know the transformative power of God's love. And we know also the power of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves trying to drive a wedge between us and God, trying to make us afraid of God or afraid of trying to share that love. But God wants us to try. Not because he expects us to succeed, but because God wants to work with us. When we bring God's love to our neighbors, to our family and friends, to strangers and even to enemies, then God can work with us to transform lives in the power of God's love. God uses our hands to reach out. God provides us with a vision so that now we have a mission. The servant who buried his talent didn't even try. That's what the master accuses him of doing. Not even trying. Even a bank, the master said, would have given interest. It's not that God was expecting everyone to double everything on his investment. But God loves it when we try. Because then God has our help to change the world. See, my favorite phrase from today's gospel story is a phrase that says, enter into the joy of your master. You see, that's what we're called to do today. Not to succeed all of the time, but to enter into the joy of our master. To enter into the joy of God's kingdom. To enter into the joy of following Jesus. And it is joy, complete joy, we are being led towards. God has graciously given to us all that we need to live our lives and to share God's love and forgiveness. God's grace and peace and hope stand with everyone. He only asks that we try. God doesn't demand that we succeed, but he wants us to try. Wherever it is that we go, whoever it is that we meet, whatever it is that we see, he wants us to try. Because God's love can go there with us. Every day, we have the opportunity to enter into the joy of our master. We have the opportunity to allow God's love to inspire us. We have the opportunity to love our neighbors, to love one another as Jesus loves us. And God will do all the heavy lifting. We get to try. We get to love as big as we can. We get to set aside our anxiousness and our unsettledness and pick up the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, walking into the week ahead with the love of Christ beside us as we strive to enter into the joy of our Master. Amen. Please rise in remembrance and celebration of our baptism. Let us confess together our faith in the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all in need. Lord of the church, ignite your people with passion, with the passion of your love. By the fire of your Holy Spirit, unify us across ministries, congregations, and denominations, and refine us to participate in your activity throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Lord of creation, we stand in awe at the works of your hands and praise you for the beauty of nature. Bless the earth for your glory and restore its integrity where exploitation has caused ruin. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Lord of the nations, sound forth your justice in the ears of all leaders. Increase concern for those who are most vulnerable, especially as international leaders forge trade agreements and cooperate to end human rights abuses. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all in need, search out all who cry to you in distress. Scatter the heavy clouds of depression, chronic illness, unemployment, and loneliness with your radiant light. Send us as encouragement and as signs of your healing. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the stranger, stir up holy restlessness in us to extend love to those at the margins. Release our desire for control and open us to learn from the perspectives of others. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the living and the dead, we give you thanks for all the saints at rest from their labors. Rouse us to live by their examples, that saints yet to come may also know your love. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, until that day when you gather all creation around your throne, where you will reign forever and ever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Stay warm, stay dry, stay safe. So let us go in peace and serve the Lord.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Living waters flowing.